Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Self-Existing Moon, and it is the fourth day of the White World Bridger wave spell. And it is also Lunar Moon 28. I'm a day late per my podcast schedule, and part of that is just because it has been really challenging, which is the theme of the lunar moon. And then another decision was just like, why don't I just hit this on the last day of the lunar moon so we can really reflect, encapsulate, denigrate the lunar moon, celebrate the possibility of shifting energy as we move forward. And then usually for me, after denigrating, it's sort of an evening of my tension. A release happens to the extent that I can then be more objective. And so we will look more objectively at the lunar moon as well. And one of the things I stipulated a few podcasts back, which I haven't done, and I was kind of holding myself accountable that I would do it before speaking today, but maybe I can do it right after, is to take some time to notate what you can remember to be your purpose for the year that arose in the magnetic moon, which was July 26th, and it ran for 28 days. And that is always when we have our first moon of the year where we attract our purpose for the year. And then you can follow up with some notes about this lunar moon that's concluding. You can identify what challenges have arisen for you to speculate that are also challenges that you're going to face and modulate through the year in its entirety. Or usually the way it works is that the challenge is heavily indicated in the lunar moon, the second moon, and it's still, you know, in aspects of our lives moving forward, but it really is resurgent in the planetary moon, the manifestation, which is our peak experience of the year in terms of accomplishment and maybe arising at our closest ability to feel the triumph of ascendance, like moving towards divinity. And that peak experience also happens, as the planetary tone always indicates, at a moment when we're not allowed to go any farther. So the peak experience is as high as we've ever been, and it's also the limit of our ability to rise. And so it feels a bit challenging, and I think that that's the full circle completion of this indication of challenge that we hit at the beginning of a wave spell. Then we can't miss it. We return to it, its themes, its actualities, when we're in the planetary tone. And so maybe I'll be able to remember and talk about that then. But like I said, for myself and others, I just feel like there was very pronounced indications of purposefulness in the magnetic moon, particularly because it's a magnetic year. So it was a magic turtle moon, doubling of energy, or the coordination of two calendars or wave spells, the year-long wave spell and the 13-year wave spell. And with that kind of heavy indicator of magnetic purposefulness, hopefully you got a clear signal of what yours is. And so record it because my experience is, I'm sure I'm going to remember because it was so profound and obvious, but I don't remember. And that's not just an aging process. It's the delight of living in the moment, is that the electric moon starts tomorrow. And if I don't record some notes about the magnetic and lunar, I'm going to just be so immersed in what my form of service will be, which is what the electric moon asks us to consider or observe, that, you know, I'll be stuck in that awakening. I'm looking forward to it. But one thing I forecasted for myself when I was anticipating talking about this on the podcast is that there are times when the lunar moon is so exhausting or rattling or feels redundant, because usually what challenges us is something that has been with us for a long time, but right now is really showing its face and being stark and bold because it's the moment of transformation where it goes from just being obstructive or problematic in our lives to being integrated, meaning we sort of see the inverse, like, oh, it also strengthens me, and this is the positive part of this recurring kind of personal holocaust. And then it's not a trigger, as we say anymore. It's not something that can be detonated, because it kind of is. It is blown open, and we look at it fully. We're immersed in it, and that is the transformation that makes it easier, not hard. And so I think where this thought stream started was that there can be very difficult lunar moments. You know, sometimes it's a lunar day, but in the lunar moon, that's just 28 days of really extended and sometimes exhaustive exposure to challenge, that there can be this expectation, I've had it, that, okay, the electric moon starts tomorrow, and thank God it couldn't have gotten here, any sooner, just in time. But then it's not really like that fast of a change. It's more subtle. There's a residue, of course, of the moon of challenge, the lunar tone drifting into the electric moon, which is just asking a different question, but not replacing the question of what is my challenge. It's just expanding. Now let's consider, how can I best be of service? That kind of takes our mind off our problems. It's actually the solution in recovery, prescribed 12-step recovery, to all kinds of problems and predilections. It's just like, go be of service, get out of yourself, get out of your head. So we'll explore that much more moving forward. And it does ease the tension of being like confounded by how hard this is, whatever this is for you or for me. But I remember a couple of years, maybe a couple of years back, where it was just like, it took until the overtone moon before I found a kind of brilliance again. And I'm not talking about intelligence, but just more a sense of light infused, somewhat impenetrable wakefulness and joy. It's a new definition of brilliance. So I'll be talking about it, like, how's it going with the challenge? And what I want to say is that I just really got hung up in my challenge. My challenge started just being kind of a curiosity, because the lunar moon began and it gave me an answer. It's kind of like following clues. Oh, well, this is my challenge. That's kind of a fascinating invitation to go deeper to this part of myself or my lifestyle. But when we got to the fourth week, and I mentioned this earlier as well, like, the fourth week in the South is about embodiment. So I felt that it was how the challenge that could be cerebral, it could be more of a thought form than a physicalization. It could even have some emotional content. It could have spiritual implications. Those are sort of the other directions that we move through in the earlier weeks of the moon. But this time, in the physicalized southern section, the sector, the week of the South, I just got snowed, physically snowed. For me, my challenge is like themes of physical exhaustion or abandoning like a health regime that keeps me really like sane and focused and in wellness. And it feels really old and habitual and harmful to me to kind of slip back into that zone. And with that backwards gesture of like I'm losing ground, I'm relapsing in some way, comes all this shame. And, you know, I would say that the challenge that you would experience or I would is going to have some base tonality like shame or depression. You know, that would be maybe a lack of oxygen, a lack of energy, enervation in your life. And so you don't have energy to spare. That would be a kind of core element of something that might look circumstantially more like I have too much to do or I don't have enough friends. I mean, you know, there are all these outside events, but the core experience is the discomfort of, like I said, not having enough energy. Or for me and the passage I'm in, returning to old places of self-harming thoughts, like we could just call it self-loathing. You know, and having that kind of take over physically, which to me means it's that addiction cycle actually, where it's just perpetuated. Like I feel terrible, so I'm going to kind of do terrible things to myself because in the shame focus of that, I deserve it. And so, you know, I went from my challenge being, you know, highly circumstantial. I can't accomplish this one feat that I so wish were simple. No, this one feat in my life, an external reality, I have no control over. Its timeline is slow or it's stopped, you know, in its tracks, trying to have this, errand to-do list item under my belt complete has been impossible for these 28 days. And yet, when we come to the end of this time, I've kind of absorbed that, you know, like the external, I've been thinking about how blocked it is for weeks, but the new information at the end is just like, it makes me feel ashamed that I cannot overcome this hurdle. It just feels like, you know, a personal death, which we'll address soon when I can talk about White World Bridger, the wave spell that we're in. So you have your version, and maybe it's the same version. Sometimes I just throw it out there in case there's continuity. And, you know, sometimes I also realize that I still present natural time very much like a school teacher. And so I'm asking us to look really deeply at these subjects, you know, like not just the generalized view of Mayan astrology, but like right here in the nexus, like the deepest reiterations of the lunar moon and the darkness and the light of the lunar moon. But let me like just dumb it down for myself and you as I kind of close this topic and come back to what lunar, the word that Jose Argüelles chose to represent the Mayan month or moon or moment of two dots, that's how their numeric system would define this moment, is not one dot, but two, that it is about polarity, feeling separated, you know, drawn apart, and darkness and light, because that is maybe the easiest way for us to conceptualize polarity as living beings on Earth. It's like it's dark, then it's light. It's day, then it's night. And then somehow we have oriented then our understanding of our psychology, our emotional moods, our grasp of divinity. Like when we feel close to God and when we feel separated from God, we have this analogy of darkness and light. And that's better than black and white, by the way, although I think black and white is just kind of like street slang for darkness and light. But we have been in this stretch of time that is really significant within the Mayan year. It is the time of challenge, and perhaps we're surviving it, transcending it, or at least, you know, graduating from it as we sleep tonight, Thursday, September 19th. Maybe the summary statement that kind of moves us towards positivism is that within the lunar moon, we had a lot of light. You know, we had darkness and light. We made sure that we understand that they are different than the other. That was part of the exploration of the lunar moon, is like, well, this part is really dark or heavy or unknowable. This part is clear and obvious and, you know, has a quality of ease. And when we move into the electric moon, which I'm not going to preview too heavily, but just truly what happens in the electric moon, to me, the concept is that a third ingredient participant arrives and is the bridge or the salve between the polarity that has been forged in the lunar moon, so that what is easy and what's hard starts to be rewoven, and it's by the presence of divinity. And divinity can just be pure essence. It's a God quality, or, you know, the source of all life as it infuses itself in our lives, or it's, you know, a third party that just has a very benign presence, you know, a guru, a new friend, a stranger, but just, you know, a presence that's not really been in our environment that enters. And again, if it's just purely our faith, our practice that brings us closer to divinity, then it just gets strengthened in the electric moon. And I think electric, that word, is to show us that it gives us power. It enervates us. It charges us up. And so that's to come. It's been hard work in different ways for each of us to get through the lunar moon and its observations and undeniable aspects of challenge or hardship. And so we need that. We need to be energized by an outside source. And so we shall. We'll be watchful of that. So just a few moments ago, I talked about this the shame spiral, or the feelings of worthlessness. And I think that's very woven into the White World Bridger wave spell. We're on day four, and it has sort of had a subtle arrival. I would say that I'm not drawing distinctions yet between this death that it holds, the quality of death, celebrating death, and the kind of harder parts of the last days of the lunar moon. Like when we move into the electric moon, maybe I'll be able to distinguish, like, well, some of that is just this ongoing wave spell, which I have denoted is the first in a series, a handful of wave spells that are really designed to turn us inside out within the Zolk'in, shake us up and shake loose things we don't need that don't serve us. And so we have the wave spell of death, followed by the wave spell of the storm, the wave spell of the human, wave spell of the serpent, and the wave spell of white mirror. All of those we'll find out more about as we enter them more fully, but they just all work against egoic needs to control or have conformity. You know, the teaching of death is going to work against our desire to live forever and avoid endings or pain. And storm is going to work against our needs for simplicity and calm. And then yellow human is just sort of right in the heart of humanity, but it seems to me to challenge us to be overexposed to our own predilection for free will and kind of being a force of nature that's man-made and in some ways artificial. You know, we're so small as a force of nature, but we present and push ourselves on Earth, you know, much bigger than the frame, the size of our bodies. So we have all this influence, and that can be just overwhelming. And then Red Serpent, it's just not very egoic because we're just reduced to being reptilian. And then finally, White Mirror is not very egoic, or the ego can't live very strongly in it because it's a time of super sacrifice, you know, sort of self-willed homicide or suicide, and just taking away all the status quo that keeps life simple and aligned and orderly. So all of that is happening from here on in. And so it's good to kind of start in the death of White World Bridger, where we are, I think, sort of naturalistically asked to remember and release any desire to have control is to remember that we can't have that. We can't have that kind of ultimate control. We can only take care of business each day and maybe do the next thing that's in front of us because that's sort of what's put in our path as pertinent. But there isn't, you know, I just can't have it all and do it all. Like I said about my lunar moon challenge, like I can't get this one to-do task done because it's in someone else's hands and I have no control. And beyond that, they are sort of puppeted by, you know, the great divine presence that orchestrates our fate. So being recessive and diminutive is a really an asset as we move through these strong, strong evolutionary wave spells. Because if you see this as a spiritual practice and then you recognize what spiritual practices tend to do uniformly, it is about taking us out of ego and into heart or into intuition, into the surrender that allows us to kind of live in the flow. You know, speaking of today, red moon, red self-existing moon, our form of service specifically for the White World Bridger wave spell is to be in the flow, watery. And water seeks its own balance or seeks greater balance, and so it will flow downhill. It doesn't work uphill and against stronger forces, and we can embrace that in preparation for this sort of wild ride that is already upon us. Yeah, as I was sort of thinking, pondering, like that is the same whether you're studying Buddhism or Christianity in some of its purer forms. I mean, whatever your spiritual practices or your religion, think whether it's, you know, yoga or hiking out in nature, that we're basically striving to be undone of these things that seize up in us control, wanting to be the influencer, you know, wanting our human form to be equal to strong surges of, you know, nature in the form of wind or rain. You know, humans are in abeyance to all that, but we forget. So here we are remembering being in abeyance and things are dying, but I don't know what, and I'm not going to try to preach to that. It's early on in the wave spell. It's convoluted, like I said, by the finishing touches of this lunar moon. And mostly what I caught myself speaking about before is just I think that depression or feeling slowed down in this wave spell is a pretty obvious form of non-literal death. Feeling tired, wanting to lie down, being restful. Those are indications of a kind of poetic approach to embodying metaphoric death. Noticing the season change, the death of summer, the death of light, and being sensitive to that. Like, oh, this is a weather change. This is us moving into the starker, darker time of year, and there is less life force in the plant world and the animal world. The hibernation is calling many much more sensitive species than the human one. But we can be empathic to that and feel drawn into this kind of turning inward or slowing and closing aspects of ourself that have been wide awake for the summer months. And other parts of White World Bridger, you know, looking at how you network or bridge worlds in your own social experience. Are you drawn right now to reaching out to someone, someone new, someone old? Yeah, to some extent, maybe it's not just about being out of your comfort zone, but you know, you're just actually trying to bridge worlds within your own social reality. Those are things that come to mind that could be considered for this wave spell, and more will be revealed as it manifests or moves through its upsurgence. And I think maybe that the last thing is just to try to embrace the magical quality of dying as a cyclical necessity, because I do love that the seasons teach us that when all the leaves fall off the trees, that nothing terrible is happening. There's just kind of a sleepiness that's taking over, and we're moving into a whole stretch of time where it's permissible to be sleepy. I have noticed in the recent years that I am so much more active in the summer. It's shocking, physically active, especially just that with more hours in the day, I use them. I use all the daylight that I have to be active. And then when the days get shorter, I just have less daylight to be active and I become sleepier. But of course, there's some kind of beautiful balance to resting all winter with less daylight hours and then springing to life and being fully expansive when the light returns and really, you know, allows us the freedom to be awake much longer. So natural time is lovely because it just, I've got a very strong inner prairie girl pioneer kind of spirit, and I do love using ancient Mayan teachings to just become someone who's more of a farm girl, you know, rising with the dawn and getting my chores done and self-preserving and having that be life's purpose. It's just a natural way to live versus artificial, and it's not super indigenous or shamanic, but it is just very plain spoken reverence for sort of the simple basics of life. Now, I also podcast and use, you know, computers, so I bridge worlds, and that's kind of nice, the hybrid of ancient and modern. I think just to touch on the next couple of days, the transit from lunar to electric, like I said, could be more subtle, but I remember something that happened the first day of the lunar moon that it felt like, wow, all of that magnetism just got completely shut off in one part of my life. Like I was just charged, almost like an in love feeling for what I was drawing in, more of a feeling than an experience, but just like, okay, I'm so attractive or attracted in this area of my life. It just feels like a beautiful, brilliant, golden cord between me and other. And then later on, it was just like someone just flipped the switch. It was, I couldn't find that or feel that at all. And it was from day one. And I was like, oh, well, either that's part of what I attracted that isn't really my purpose, it's more of the challenge within my purpose, or the challenge is that I just am disconnected from that feeling of connection. That is the challenge, is the disconnect that happens. And, you know, you can see what is really different tomorrow. Like, do that. It's White Overtone Dog on Friday, September 20th, which is, I mean, it's a powerful day. It is Overtone, which is about empowerment and being radiant, like just having power that radiates in all directions, 360, unrestricted. It's very exhilarating. And then there's this heart loyalty of the dog, this mammalian love that is infusing the day. It's the totem to remark upon. So that might grab your attention. But do feel, if anything is less of a challenge tomorrow, it's kind of undermining my earlier message that we might not have less of a challenge for a while till the Overtone moon. I mean, who knows? And every year is different, but and every individual is different in how they experience their year. But I'm just asking you to pay attention because it's interesting. It's part of the synchronicities that bounce around here. Some synchronicities just really do bounce. They come from nowhere. They feel charmed And some of the synchronicities are designed to keep us going as students of the calendars. And so it really is an aliveness where you feel this connection to time as it unfolds, as it rolls through in wave form. And that is special and singular. It's what we do here. And I am mentioning that at resonanttruth.com, you can find my book, Natural Time. You can look up birthdays. And I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.